This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Truth Thomas is a singer, a songwriter, photographer, but most of all, he's a poet. Say hello, Truth.
Hey, what's happening? How you doing?
With a poem.
This poem is called Strange Little Crayons, after Robert Hayden. In 1965, I left leaf-green grapevines and hedges behind my grandmother's house, my house, my mother's house, when I was seven, and the gravel driveway sounding of cornflakes being poured from a box. I left Dot's ice cube nose and helicopter tail, along with five other dogs my grandmother kept as outside dogs. Their breeds were coats of many colors. Their barks always on watch. On days when Uncle Deke came to visit, driving up the long gray rocky tongue that was the path to our 617 Ben Hur abode, I remember the alarm of stones crunching under tires of his double-shined, double coal black Lincoln Continental. It was clean as Easter Sunday and longer than the Tennessee River. That was my Knoxville quilt. His pine tree legs, family doctor's smile, getting haircuts in the kitchen, canine babysitter centuries, pantry peach preserves, 88 hollowed upright keys in the 78 records filled front parlor, and right at the tippy top of a two-door cedar wardrobe in an upstairs bedroom where no one thought a little boy could reach, bullets. When I broke my scoop at supper of the strange little crayons I found, even crickets zipped their lips. Not long after, Eastport Elementary School, Kaz Walker's grocery store, Chill Highway just desegregated park, and every hymnal at Shiloh Presbyterian saw us deuces, taillights to D.C. The matter of pistols hidden in honey-colored rounds were also subjects left behind, like the howling of our country dog disciples. What did I know of hatred's crowded offices or the smoky mountains of a black woman's self-defense?
Wow. Truth Thomas. Small thing. The poet and the poem is a small thing, but it holds a huge story. It holds a huge story. What is that huge story in that poem?
Well, I'm from Tennessee, of two worlds, the South and the North. So it takes me back to my origin story, where I came from, how much that meant, how much it remains with me, and certainly how much a part of my growing experience was impacted by racism, even when I didn't realize it.
Yes. And the dogs for protection.
Yes.
That is so significant. Read the last two lines again.
Sure. The matter of pistols hidden and honey-colored rounds were subjects also left behind, like the howling of our country dog disciples. What did I know of hatred's crowded offices or the smoky mountains of a black woman's self-defense?
Finding those bullets, that is incredible.
Which I did.
Oh, I know, but it made a poem. Let's hear another one.
Okay. I'd like to dedicate this poem and the one that follows to the conflict between Israel and Palestine. It's currently taking so many lives, and I read them in the spirit of peace, praying for both sides. On holy war. How fragile is the congregation of flesh, and quiet are corpses that litter the ground. I pass your service after most of the guests have gone. A headless boy stops and asks me if he's an Israeli or a Palestinian son, and which of the bullets that struck him was the holy one.
Would you read that one more time?
Sure. On holy war. How fragile is the congregation of flesh, and quiet are corpses that litter the ground. I pass your service after most of the guests have gone. A headless boy stops and asks me if he's an Israeli or a Palestinian son, and which of the bullets that struck him was the holy one.
That is the best poem on the war I've ever heard.
Wow.
Wow. A headless boy stops and asks which of the bullets was the holy one. You have said it all. Because, friends, I have friends who are Arab and friends who are Jewish, and I say suffering has no nationality.
Amen.
When something's painful, truth, so painful, how can we still write about it? I mean, what does it take?
I think it takes a coalition of people of good conscience coming together and making it clear that killing civilians is wrong.
But how do you find it within yourself to summon the words when the feelings are so big? What does that take? And that is the poet's job, right?
I remember a conversation I had with Gerald Stern a long time ago, who was one of my mentors, talking about how do you write after the Holocaust. And I'm paraphrasing Gerald, who I love, who passed away not too long ago. But he said, you just write. You just tell it honestly. You record it. I'm also reminded of Emily Dickinson, who recorded everything, as you know, that she wrote. And Brother Michael on the soundboard in the back can attest to this, right? Even when things were difficult, you write. It's important to document as honestly as you can and believe what's going on in the world in the hope that by doing so, it helps to make it better.
Let's hear another poem. Truth sure. Thomas is here, and this is The Poet and the Poem from the studios of the Library of Congress.
Since you said that was the best poem in the war you had heard in a minute, I'm going to read another poem about a war that rages here in terms of the United States and police brutality and so many black and brown people whose lives have been lost. This poem is called Hail Mamie Full of Grace, and it's after Joseph Ross, who you may know. Somewhere, always, the light switch of the moon is on as babies feast from mother's milky pillows. Somewhere, always, in cradles of the wee hours, swaddling clothes are lullabies for newborn souls cocooning. Once in a south side manger, a mother gave birth to a king. Hail Mamie, full of grace, the first time she counted Emmett's toes. Hail Mamie, full of grace, the first time she tallied his fingers, divined the weight of his smile. Hail Mamie, full of grace, in 1941, the very first time that she dressed him, anointed him with sugar words, cushioned his dreams when his diapers were dry. Hail this Mamie, full of grace, who never heard a seed barn scream or saw the barbed wire weep. The Lord is always with thee, just like Bobo's ring.
Yes. And that is about Emmett Till.
I'm reminded about suffering all over the world when I think about what's going on now in the Middle East and also what continues to go on in America in terms of the cost of racism, the cost of injustice, the cost of hatred as it plays out in violence in the lives of many people.
Well, the poet's job is to shine light on that, because if you do not say it, it won't get said. So, you know, you have written books, and they are, would you say they are reporting out into the world, these messages? Here are the books, Party of Black, A Day of Presence, Bottle of Life, Speak Water. And what won the 2013 NAACP Image Award?
A Speak Water.
Oh, the last book?
Yes, 2020? Speak Water, yes.
And that was wonderful that it won that award.
It was a blessing.
Oh, yeah. And then My TV Is Not the Boss of Me, 2013.
Yes.
And then you won the Jesse Redmond Fawcett Book Award. It was a finalist in 2014. So you've been booking every year.
Well, up to that point, yes. After Speak Water was published, and I was fortunate to do well with it, I directed my attention to publishing, to celebrating the work of other writers, particularly writers of color, because there aren't that many publishing companies that are black owned.
Yes.
So I created a company called Cherry Castle Publishing, And for anybody who's listening, that's cherrycastlepublishing.com, where writers of color have a voice, have a place where their voices, rather, can be heard. And now I'm turning attention to work that I'm going to publish next year. That's my own work. So, yeah.
So, you present and you create. And yes. Now we're going to hear another poem, Truth Thomas.
Okay. I want to shout out everybody in D.C. and thank again you, Grace, with your musical voice. And again, Brother Michael in the back of the booth. This poem is a very D.C. poem. I'm from the South, but I was raised, I came of age in D.C. And D.C.'s changed a lot, as you may know. So, of course, I have to write about it. And let me say, I offer this in the spirit of love, in the hope that it brings light to some things that are wrong that might be made right. White folks walk their dogs after Gil Scott Heron. Gentrification done bit my brother Phil as white folks walk their dogs. His property taxes began to swell and white folks walk their dogs. Can't get no money to shake my hand and white folks walk their dogs because east of the river is a Bantu stand while white folks walk their dogs. Another black child fell in the grave as white folks walked their dogs. He tripped up on the murder rate, but white folks walked their dogs. On U Street now, the tanning beds grow since white folks walked their dogs. Wonder if they'll put one in Ben's chili bowl since white folks walked their dogs. You know, there ain't no heat in my baby's school as white folks walked their dogs. Her classroom window is a trap house view, and white folks walk their dogs. Got ethnic cleansing in Berry Farm. Developers say that they mean no harm. Tell torn down blocks we can all come back. And as if that ain't a leash to crap, gentrification done bit my brother Phil as white folks walk their dogs. His property taxes began to swell, and white folks walk their dogs. Bike lanes matter, and running shoes, and white folks walking privilege, too. Statehood must be coming soon, because white folks walk their dogs.
You are a Maryland poet, because you've been living in Columbia for 20 years. So I claim you as a Maryland poet.
Well, thank you.
You can belong to us.
I love all of the DMV. But I have to say, in terms of how I see myself, I see myself as a D.C. poet because that's where I came of age. And that's, I went to Howard.
Yes.
I wouldn't be a musician or poet and even growing into photography without D.C., without Howard. So I'm the DMV now, you know, and Tennessee.
Well, yes, you were the writer in residence at Howard County.
Howard County Poetry and Literature Society, yes.
And you have had publications in about 150 anthologies and journals.
Yes.
And as I said, 100 and best African American poems, Nikki Giovanni featured you.
Yes,
of your poems.
I love Nikki Giovanni.
So now you are the editor of Skinny Poetry Journal. We'll go into that after the next poem.
Okay. Can I tell you something real quick? Nikki Giovanni. My mother took me to see Nikki Giovanni in D.C. when I was a little boy. I don't remember what she read, but I think it was at GW University. And I loved her right away. And I wrote her a letter letting her know that I loved her right away. And still do. And Sister Nikki Giovanni wrote me back. And I never will forget, she said, you know, something to the effect of, you know, try to grow up to be a good man. So if Nikki Giovanni ever hears this, I've tried to do that.
And she's still going strong.
Yeah.
But you know, your cadence in your poetry is like Sonia Sanchez.
Oh, thank
if
you.
Your phraseology is so much like hers that I feel like I'm harking back. I saw her not too long ago.
Wonderful.
She's in her 80s, and she's sitting down, but she's still wonderful.
Amen.
Let's have a poem.
All right. America. There is blood in the water, and blood in the streets, and blood in the tempest raging. As I was walking this billy club highway, I saw before me a hate crime skyway. Homeless, shackled to harassment, tent lives tossed to tears by storms of badged blue blues. I saw before me the native water hosed in winter we, the black and brown incarcerated sea of we. Arkansas, bedazzled by midazolam. The executed legions we manacled to last mile gurneys, twitching like tails of grackle birds. Trouble in my way, gotta cry sometime. Gotta launch this sorrow like a rocket until contrails of our suffering write their zigzag names on the bosom of the sky. There were hellhounds guarding fences of separateness, unfettered by Gabriel's horn or any sweet pluck of Dust Bowl guitars. Teeth of these dogs are tasers. Their stop and frisk spit like pepper spray. From the roller coaster back of the Blue Ridge Hills to the pancake plains of Texas, this land is cancer, ruling reservations, Bible belts like nooses, diamond deserts flooding with migrant workers' bones. I am stopped in Arizona, and they are fetching felonies to plant in my car. I am stopped in Brooklyn, and they are breaking windows of my teeth. I am stopped and stopped in Baltimore, where white step blocks bear witness, where one of these days it won't be long. Like Freddie, I'll leave the body of this instrument, along with turds on gunpowder streets, flying flies, and liquor store, liquor store, liquor store, and bar, 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 and jail, 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 and police roaming and rambling, following my footsteps, everywhere the sun goes walking in this land.
Launch this sorrow like a rocket. Billy Club Highway, Billy Club Highway. That is so good.
Thank you.
You are a songwriter as well as a poet. How do you know when you get an inspiration what it will be? And what's the difference between a song and a poem?
I think the creativity comes from the same place, but the expressions are different. I often hear songs and dreams, music, melodies and dreams, and I get up and I have to play. You know, Brother Michael, I'm sure you know in the back, this is much the story of a lot of musicians. And so that is different. Singing, the physicality of singing is different. I was signed to Capitol Records in the early 80s. So that process of working with other musicians is also different. The collaborative aspect of songwriting and being a musician involves ensemble, bands. Poetry, not so much. You know, when you write, at least from what I've seen, you write alone. You might get feedback from some other people you trust about pieces, but generally it's a solitary road. Again, I think the creativity comes from the same place. And there are all kinds of songs. There's stories that paint pictures, hopefully, that make the world better. But the process of expression is different, I think.
Truth is, as I said, the winner of the 2013 NAACP Image Award. I just love that. I can't say it enough. And he studied at Howard and got his MFA at New England College.
Yes.
And so that's a Master of Fine Arts in Poetry.
Yes.
And he has written several books, about four or five books.
Five altogether.
Yeah.
Five
and altogether. So from songwriting, we're going to go back to poetry again with Truth Thomas. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and this is The Poet and the Poem from the studios of the Library of Congress.
This poem is also a poem that is a part of my origin story, and I dedicate this poem to my mother. The Ivy Tree. I be pirate prince on African fingers. I be slave in Cherokee. I be Ben Hur Ave in Strawberry Plains, a colored only survivor. I be Avon in Yonza, Carrie Bell Cole. I be Five Points, Clothespins in Knoxville. I be Mamaw and Papaw, Grandfather Erskine, Shoeshines on Central and Vine. I be son of Caradella, who shouldn't have made it past three. Pneumonia, paralysis, fever, and tears. I be prayers hanging over a crib. I be Seventh-day Episcopal, Baptist, Holiness, AME. I be segregated popcorn dropped in Gay Street movie seats. I be picture frames for fathers. I be women raising men. I be Mother Macklin's crackling bread, her bat catching rats in the pantry. I be uncles fighting Klansmen, giving as good as they got. I be packet scores and cigarettes, holy birds and hymnals. I be hound dogs yawning porches. I be lightning bugs in jars. I be trailers tied to bumpers. I be U-hauled to D.C. I'd be battling out on Eastern Ave. I'd be Afro picks with fists. I'd be wrench strikes, roaches, PF flyers, James Brown on the one. I'd be tank treads rolling, U Street smoking, Coretta's assassinated smile. I'd be bruises like plums on my mother's arms, a gift from my second non-father. I'd be nails in his cheeks, teeth in his back, as she gave as good as she got. I'd be the panther in her eyes that stopped the attacks. Yes, I'd be all that.
And that is on a visual as well on the page. Talk about how you presented those lines.
Well, first I had to do the research with my mother to talk about the people who were my ancestors and what their lives were like in Knoxville before I was born, which was very, very difficult. And whatever racism I experienced growing up was nothing, of course, compared to what they endured. So that was the first part of the process, was that research, and then being honest about what had happened to me growing up, having a picture frame for a father was something that I had to confront to be able to tell the story honestly, to honor my mother and all those people who helped to shape me.
Honesty. That's the word that comes back. Honesty.
Amen.
It's hard. That's where the courage comes in. Writing is easy, but honesty is hard.
Amen.
And, you know, the what you say is so powerful, but the fact is that you use such golden language.
Thank you.
Just lifts it up so much. Because just to say the truth is in itself a gift, but to say it and turn it to gold is really what the poet is. It's alchemy.
It's what you are.
I love it. Well, today it's all about truth, Thomas. And that is a big poem. But you also have given birth to some other kind of poetry form. Talk about the skinny poem.
When I was at Howard in the boot camp poetry workshop with Dr. Tony Medina in 2005, 2006, he first introduced me to forms. And I fell in love with them. And I started experimenting with forms, writing them, and I was blessed to create the skinny poetry form, which is a short form, a fixed form of poetry, 11 lines, where lines 2, 6, and 10 must be comprised of the same word. The first line and the last line can be any length, although you don't want it to be crazy long because it won't fit on the page, but can be any length and words can be rearranged. The other lines are open and free. The point of that form, the skinny form, is to make the image, as we all strive to do, the most important component, craft, find the imagistic work, but also have power in something that is fairly socially conscious. That was my intent. You can write about anything in the skinny form, but I wanted it to focus on fairly serious issues that face us all. So that came about in 2005. And since then, I've tinkered with it a bit. In the beginning, it was very fixed. So the first and the last lines had to be exactly the same. But it was very constricting to do that. So it's evolved into what it is now. And it's been a wonderful journey. It's something that's grown in popularity all over the world.
Mm.
And the Skinny Poetry Journal gets a lot of submissions from everywhere. Interestingly enough, a lot of folks in India love this form. Japan love this form, which I'm happy about, and they send the skinnies all the time. The journal is, if you Google the Skinny Poetry Journal, you'll see that it comes up, and you'll see the best work in that form. Several years ago, I published an anthology of the best pieces that had been written in the form that were gleaned from work that had been submitted the past 7 years or so. So that's available at Cherry Castle Publishing as well. But yeah,
so
that's the skinny.
We should Google it.
Yeah, please.
And so
write some sentences.
Well, I tried one once. I'll tell you, it was hard. It was very hard. And I think I have to write down the formula. I remember I didn't spend that much time, but once I did try it and I didn't do well. But I'll try it again.
I look forward to it.
Because I can see why Japanese people like it, because the haiku is a fixed form.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just surprised that it keeps going.
Me too, but I'm happy about
it. It's caught on fire. Yeah, let's have a closing poem.
Sure. I'd like to dedicate this poem to all the issues that we talked about, where people are suffering, both abroad and at home. Deep Dishing, after Terence Hayes. And the epigraph reads, I've heard in the voices of the wind the voices of my dim-killed children. That's from Gwendolyn Brooks' poem, The Mother. The blues is not a vegetarian, so a grilled cheese sandwich, I know once told me, before it felt size of Kenmore irons on my have-not dinner table. Call it carnivore fundamentalist, a growling herd in bloody packs of centuries. Call it fetish hound for brown in its gastrointestinal appointments. Call it howls for chattel children, the flesh of my cuisine. So coats with holes have told me, their voices low, as if to pass a secret. But I am miles of hunted wilds of my surviving kin, and I am not a cup of trembles, and we are not the easy meat for tyranny's grill. And I know this, like talon wind knows deep dish singing. I would rather drink muddy water, the swill of your scat, call hollow logs home, than not fight back. Voices of my own are gathering, as another scent stokes fire of this night. And even trees seem to dance, as flames spit on my spit, skinning skin of suffering. Big dogs made meals for the dim. Moon jumps over stormy Monday whenever your blues is killed. Sun evicts ice from its building when courage gives birth to her children.
That is the voice of Truth Thomas, and this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media. Post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Senevit Fund, the Rivada Foundation, the Maryland State Arts Council, by Diane Wilbone Parks, and the Women of the Song in the Room group. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and Mike Turpin is our engineer.